over their bodies. Structured conversations get to the root of the shame and despair students feel, to the underlying causes of imbalances with food and exercise, cutting, and other self-destructive behaviors. Group members learn that their negative self-image is not caused by having the wrong body, but by the destructive belief systems about beauty, health, and identity all around them. As a result, they uncover perspective and self-respect, and even self-love. The mean voice. If we remain in isolation with our body shame, without support to deal with criticism from the outside world, negativity directed at us can get buried deep and become an internalized mean voice. Also, if peers, friends, and/or parents are locked into the pursuit of an ideal image, their self-critical comments can make us feel that we, too, must put ourselves down for our flaws. We learn through osmosis that self-criticism is normal. As an adolescent, I, like many girls, went from being strong and self-assured to feeling that I had to do whatever it took to be accepted by those with more social power. A single experience of being humiliated about the size of my thighs at the age of 14 exacerbated the shame I felt for having the wrong body. By high school, my self-critical voice was alive and well, and extremely outspoken. Recurring sexual harassment added fuel to the fire of my self-loathing. I was absolutely sure that if I were thin enough and behaved properly, not having a clue what that meant, I would be immune from humiliation. It didn't help that the majority of my friends had perfected the art of body bashing. I will never forget partaking in the grooming ritual in front of a friend's bathroom mirror before heading out to social gatherings. We stood side by side, yet were lost in conversation with our own selves, trashing our physical features. My breasts are too small. I hate my fat legs. I have too many freckles. An endless stream of negativity poured from our mouths as we stared at our reflections. I can't remember either one of us ever once saying, "I really like the way my hair looks tonight," or "I love the way this shirt looks on me," or anything that resembled a kind word. Every derogatory word uttered during those self-critical moments reinforced, for many years to come, my conviction that I was ugly and in need of physical improvement. Confidence confused with conceit. I know very few people who were raised to speak about themselves in a positive light, especially in front of others. What Elizabeth and I have learned in our work with thousands of young people is that any show of confidence, especially when it comes to knowing one's authentic beauty, is judged as conceited. The people who brandish this label have the power to shatter the confidence of others, especially those who are not supported with tools to help them hold on to their self-esteem. We find it is important to teach people to differentiate between confidence, which is crucial to develop if we are to see and express our beauty, and conceit. The body positive's view of these two concepts is this: conceit is competitive, and generally arises out of people's need to mask their insecurities. Confident people, however, know their intrinsic value. They are comfortable in their own skin most of the time, and do not need to participate in one-up interactions. Nor do they need to judge others to build up their egos. Seeing their own beauty does not stop them from seeing it in others. It allows them to see more. My daughter Carmen's teenage experience was in direct contrast to mine. During puberty, she and her friends talked about the differences they observed in each other's physical features. Unlike most girls, however, these observations were made while still maintaining love and respect for their own bodies. They not only saw their friends' beauty, but also their own. An outsider might have dubbed them conceited, but they would have been mistaken. What was actually taking place was a rare form of communication among females. Girls who actually liked their bodies and were confident enough in their friendships with one another to say so out loud. Sarah Wolf, body positive workshop participant. People are like wildflowers in the fields of the world. With water, sun, and nutrient-rich soil, they bloom, folding outwards, expanding, arms reaching towards joy. But sometimes there is wind, punishing rain, hail. Sometimes you are young and have known nothing but life in a bud. Sometimes you are too cold, too torn, too fragile. Sometimes it hurts to bloom. But this lack of blooming speaks nothing of a flower's worth. There's a well-intentioned message floating around in our society that self-assurance is more important than physical appearance. You shouldn't worry about your looks as long as you're confident. But what if you haven't learned to love yourself fully and project this to the rest of the world? Are you expected to feel like not enough? I've sometimes found myself stuck in a cycle of negative thoughts and energy, in which I'm aware that I'm not carrying myself confidently and know that people may be less drawn to me as a result. This awareness drags me into an even lower state of self-esteem. I slouch, I feel bad, I slouch more. But a lack of confidence is no reason to feel shame. I've learned that forgiveness is key when I feel this way. I give myself permission to love myself, even when I don't feel or project confidence. Some days I feel insecure, low energy, anxious, or downright dissatisfied with myself. And that's okay. I forgive myself for not always celebrating my body, and sometimes dragging it along as if it were a burden and not a gift. I have a budding knowledge inside that I am always beautiful, and that I always deserve love and respect, from myself as well as others. This awareness may manifest itself in my stride as I embody it more, or not. Either way, I deserve respect the way I am, in all states and moods, in all bodily comportments, and all stages of achieving self-acceptance. I am brilliant, and I am enough. The harm of comparing ourselves to others. Though we eventually leave behind the more ritualized social sanctions, as just described, of our formative years, the belief that we need to fundamentally change ourselves to be considered beautiful often endures. Whether our motivation is conscious or unconscious, we continue to mold our behaviors and bodies to be acceptable to the adult world. We have conversations in which we point out specific physical traits of the person with whom we're speaking, putting ourselves down in the process. We perfect the art of comparison, and with each encounter, end up in a position of superiority or inferiority, and with empty hearts. Many of us feel alone in our suffering. We look out from a scared and lonely place, thinking others do not experience the shame we hold in regard to how we look. It is important to distinguish between the type of comparison that harms all who participate and the simple act of noticing variety in the human race. Observing differences among people is completely natural. Children do it all the time as they learn about the world. They may ask why a person is in a wheelchair, or why a person is fat, tall, or has pink hair. When their parents tell them to be quiet and not to stare, they assume that being different is bad. These admonitions set the stage for judgmental comparison, because kids get the sense that the person they are observing is somehow wrong, which is why they are not allowed to look. It is important to teach our children to be respectful in how they observe and interact with people who stand out to them. But we can do it in a way that also explains to them that difference is simply a part of the world. When Elizabeth's daughter Uma was 4 years old, she commented appreciatively to a fat woman getting out of the pool by saying, "You are round like the moon." The woman, understanding Uma's openness, responded simply by saying, "Yes, I am." My favorite quote from the Body Positive's first Body Talk video project came from Carmen, who was just 7 years old at the time, saying, "People who are fat are just the same as people who aren't, but they're just, bigger." Patty Schroeder, clinical psychologist, Healthy Within, Inc. A tall, freckled, sturdy girl growing up in Southern California in the 1980s and 90s, I was painfully aware of the construct of California beauty. Each summer, I tortured my sunscreen-free Irish skin in the San Diego sun, trying to accumulate a decent base tan, because butt white was not California pretty. I dieted my way through high school in desperate pursuit of the beach figure my body could never achieve. How unfair that it would not conform! As my disordered eating progressed, I got no closer to feeling comfortable in my skin. Then, one humid August night, I dove into the lake for a swim. The doctors told me that striking my head on the sandy bottom had broken my spine. At 23, I was quadriplegic. I would never walk again. I might never move my arms again. I was lucky to be alive, they said. I experienced many losses that day, but there was also an unexpected gift, a shift from obsessing over what my body looked like to what my body could do. And at first, it could not do much. My energy was redirected to restoring health and function. Suddenly, the size of my jeans really didn't matter. The biggest gift of my spinal cord injury was freedom from the notion that my body needed to look a certain way to be of value. Though it had always been true, I could finally accept that no matter what I did, I couldn't possibly look like the woman glorified in magazines. I'm not saying I love what I see in the mirror every day. I'm still vulnerable to my inner critic. But now I know that self-care and respect for what my body does will get me closer to relief than deprivation ever did. When we can honor that diversity exists on every level, we observe difference for what it actually is, just different. We no longer feel the need to compare or judge when we hold this mindset. We can be our real selves without fear because we know that each of us is no better or worse than any other person on the planet. No beauty hierarchy exists, only difference. And we learn to see genuine beauty in ourselves and in all people. The need to grieve. I feel an overwhelming sadness that I have not loved and honored myself and accepted my own body, my own beauty. Anonymous. We may feel great sadness after confronting the influences that have made us so self-critical. We may also feel anger, as was my case when I ended my relationship with bulimia, followed by a need to grieve the time we wasted believing in our ugliness. To experience more beauty in life, both in ourselves and in the world around us, it is essential to honor our wounds and to grieve the time during which we were blinded from seeing our true reflection. I can best illustrate the need for this grieving process by sharing an experience I had in 2001 while co-facilitating a group for middle school girls. Our name was the Girls Empowerment Movement because the acronym GEM perfectly defined the girls, even with their adolescent awkwardness and struggle. During one of our evenings together, the first girl to speak shared a story of the shame she carried because she believed her body was not beautiful. Tears flowed down her cheeks as she talked. The next to speak began to cry as she, too, unloaded her burden of self-loathing. Every single girl in the room began to cry as she revealed her particular story of suffering. I will never forget the experience of being with these precious young beings as they offered, into our safe space, the pain and tears that stemmed from their belief in their inadequacies. I'm bigger than all of my friends. My butt is too small. My breasts are too big. I don't have any breasts. People make fun of the color of my skin. They call me yellow. At the end of the evening, the girls' faces were bright and shiny from crying, yet their souls were lit up like a dazzling show of lightning in a dark sky. It was an electric experience. I will remember for the rest of my days how alive we all were that night. The girls felt genuinely seen and honored through the simple act of sharing their pain within a safe circle of peers and trusted adults. What we witnessed, young and old alike, was the authentic beauty, the essence, that radiates from people when they are given permission to feel love and compassion for their fragile human selves. The next day it rained incessantly, as if the heavens were crying in pain for the little GEM girls. As I sat on my living room floor watching the deluge outside my window, I could not stop thinking about the outpouring of tears from the night before. I wrote a poem that day dedicated to the girls called A River of Tears. I have chosen to share two passages from it because the words remind me that the wounds that diminish our soul's light and limit our ability to see our own beauty are often formed at an early age. A primary reason they are so hard to recognize and heal later in life. The poem was written specifically for the participants in our group, but I believe it speaks to anyone who has been teased, shamed, or humiliated. A River of Tears. A girl is born, her spirit a bubbling creek attached to the deep flowing river that is mother. Crystal clear and sparkling clean, as her journey begins, she is eventually discovered. Humans want her and use her innocence to satisfy their own needs. They leave behind their trash when they are done, clogging her flowing waters with their garbage, pain, shame, and humiliation. Build a dam, blocking what was once free-flowing consciousness. The creek sparkles dim, light traveling from the life-giving sun, has difficulty penetrating the layer of smog that has clouded her spirit. Her soul is buried deep. She is losing form. Life force can no longer find a place to reside and walks away. The poem continues, telling the story of four women who see damage done to the creek and set out to clean her waters. The women sing an ancient song about beauty as they step into the murky water to clear trash from the little creek. The sun is setting in deep purple, fiery orange, and soft pink colors when their work is finished. Though the women are tired, their hearts are full. Suddenly they are aware of a presence that hovers. At the bank of the little creek, they cannot see her fully. But the women know that life, who had walked away because she could not breathe, was entering the water, ready to once again give form and beauty to the little sparkling creek. A new sound is heard. As with the song of the women, this sound begins faintly and grows to fill all corners of the evening sky. It is the sound of girls crying. Tears of pain, sadness, and joy are released, cleansing and purifying the girls as they journey together down the river of tears. The girl, the crystal clear sparkling creek, is free once again from the damaging touch of human hands, hands that did not see or care for the precious gem. The girl, who will someday become the deep, mysterious river, that is woman. And so we grieve the beautiful moments of life we have lost to feeling inadequate, to seeing ourselves as flawed. We cry a river of tears to honor the wounds we have received at the hands of other humans. When we are done grieving, we willingly step into our own creek to remove the trash that diminishes its sparkling clear waters. Come home to beauty. In beauty's presence, there is a dignity that is not interior or exterior, but coherent, all the way through. J. Ruth Gendler, Notes on the Need for Beauty. Okay, so you've gotten mad. You've started grieving, and you're ready to do what it takes to clean the garbage from your soul so you can find your beauty. What now? The first thing to remember is that changing the way you see yourself takes practice. Even if you consciously desire to see your beauty, looking in the mirror or seeing your image in a photo or on video may still bring out the mean voice that demands to be heard as it points out all of your flaws. Don't forget, you may be dealing with deeply embedded brain patterns that have been around since you were very young. See image of self. Commence criticism. Feel ugly. Act accordingly. It takes commitment, practice, and bravery to include yourself in your definition of beauty. This section of the chapter and the practices at the end offer ideas, stories, and activities to expand your perspective and bring you home to your beauty. Play with these ideas until you discover the path that is right for you. Make use of your critical voice. Of course, we all have days when we can't see our beauty. When my critic comes to visit and tells me I'm getting old and wrinkly, or something else is wrong with me that stems from being human, my practice is to recognize the nasty statements as red flags that challenge me to stop and take stock of what is happening in my life. I often find that I am deeply exhausted or struggling with a painful situation. I stop mid-criticism, smile at myself, and say, "Good morning, beautiful." I feel grateful to my critical voice for the reminder to find compassion for myself, focus on what's important, and get on with my day. The moments when you turn the difficult experiences of the world on yourself and see ugliness are your prompts to reach deeply for whatever it is that brings you back to knowing your beauty. And remember, searching for your flaws only leads to seeing more ugliness in the world. While meditating on your beauty, even finding just one thing about yourself to appreciate, allows you to see the magnificence that exists both in and around you. Connect with a body positive community. Being in a supportive community offers one of the easiest ways to quiet your critical voice and see your own beauty. That's why the fifth competency of the Be Body Positive model is build community. What a spectacular experience it is to witness individuals, diverse in myriad ways, radiate their authentic beauty in an environment where comparison, judgment, and other social sanctions have been removed. The depth of connection is profound. You can create this type of connection in your own life. Spending time with people who are committed to using their creativity and imagination to expand society's limited view of beauty is an excellent way to remember your own. When you are overwhelmed with media imagery or have been hurt by the comments or actions of others and feel the need to fix yourself, these friends can mirror back to you your true reflection. They can shore you up so you don't fragment into flawed body parts. They are there to help you see yourself as a beautiful, whole human being. Being with a group of body-positive people, you don't have to worry about anything. The relationships are about who we are as people. Walking into a room so filled with love and being around people who see who you truly are on the inside makes everyone, including myself, feel amazing on the outside as well. You feel good, so you can move and laugh and embrace who you are inside and out. It makes you feel safe to feel attractive. Lily S., Body Positive Leader. Consciously look for beauty. Author and artist J. Ruth Gendler reminds us in her book, Notes on the Need for Beauty, that as we see more deeply, we find beauty in unexpected places. I believe it is important to slow down, even if only occasionally, to take in the magnificence that is ever present in our world. Yes, life is busy, and it's easy to say we don't have time to stop and look around. We do have the time. It's how we choose to spend our time that is up to us. When life feels flat, stopping for a few seconds every now and then to take in the color and fragrance of a flower, or the smile on a kind person's face, brings us into the present moment where abundant beauty exists. The more we do this, the more capable we are of expanding our vision to include ourselves. It takes conscious practice to change how you see. At first, you must continuously remind yourself to slow down enough to see old things in a new way. With time, however, it will become second nature. I entered perimenopause at the same time Carmen began puberty. Simultaneously, we were living in changing bodies. Our transformation included the addition of new flesh and therefore the need for new clothing. A shopping trip was in order. As Carmen and I stood next to each other before the dressing room mirror, I recognized how easy it would be to compare my aging body to her youthful one and see ugliness in myself. So, I stopped focusing on the clothes for a moment and stared at our reflections, asking myself to take in each one without judgment. In that moment, I simply decided that both of us were allowed to be beautiful. Believing that beauty was only for the young was a product of social conditioning, and it was my choice to say, "No thanks, I don't believe you anymore," to the voice in my head. How liberating it was to see beauty in my experienced flesh as well as in my daughter's developing body. Although I didn't speak out loud about my experience in the moment, Carmen and I did have a conversation back in the car about what it's like to have one's body change so suddenly. We honored that it wasn't easy to be in transition, and that trying to find the right style of clothing to fit our new life stages was a challenge. A few days later, my mom, who at that time was in her late 70s, came for a visit. At dinner, there was a split second when I looked at her sitting next to Carmen in the candlelight and saw them switch bodies. It was a profound experience to see my mom as she was in her youth and my daughter as an old woman. My body was somewhere in the middle. In the timelessness of the moment, I saw the essence of our genetics in all three generations. I was changed forever. It showed me that the experience of beauty is simply a matter of choosing how we use our vision. I tell this story to let you know it really is possible to appreciate your physical self in a mirror's reflection. You can learn to look at your image in a photo, or see yourself on video and choose not to attack yourself. The trick is to consciously breathe in truth while exhaling out the illusion that beauty is not allowed for you. You have a choice in these moments to expand your definition beyond the images fed to you by mass media and advertising. It is up to you to choose love over fear. Fear equals ugliness. Love equals beauty. If you see ugliness, that's okay. Keep practicing. Change your vision in the next moment, and the next. If clothes you are trying on don't fit well, do not take it out on your body. It's not your body's fault. Dare to be unique and find clothes that feel right for you, even if they don't match current trendy styles. Miranda Berry, Body Positive Leader. At the age of 14, I really thought I was open-minded about beauty, but the appreciation was totally cerebral. I never actually felt the beauty in different sorts of bodies, never experienced it with my senses. Just before graduating high school, I began interning with the Body Positive. I was going through what seemed like a million changes at that time, and needing an outlet for my confusion, I got into visual art. I drew pastel landscapes of the Mono Lake Basin Desert, created twisting patterns in the Stinson beach sand, and made a variety of abstract watercolor paintings in my bed at night. The more weeks I spent with the self-loving, diversely bodied individuals of the Body Positive, the more I grew to see them as works of natural art, and I examined them with the same close attention I gave to patterned sticks and the tender ridges on the inside walls of a bell pepper. As a kid, I liked to soften my gaze completely until my eyes lost focus and things became abstract. Rothko-esque blobs, no longer defined by their everyday purposes. At 17, I discovered that by letting my mind relax in the same way, I could stop measuring beauty by how closely somebody fit the ideal and start going by pure visual intrigue. There were so many entrancing things I had completely dismissed. Aside from their fascinating appearances, I found culturally shamed body parts especially beautiful because of what they represented. Wrinkles, for instance, are unique records of every expression over one's life, delicately crinkling and creasing into deep, firm lines. My mother expresses embarrassment about the loose flesh of her belly, but it is a product of all the stretching that allowed her to give birth to me. The squishy softness, a symbol of the strength and flexibility that parenthood requires. My best friend's scars are another wonder, because they show the body's amazing ability to heal, if only partially at times. My great-uncle's age spots show a long existence of growing and learning, having access to memories of a time that I know I can never touch. And noticing these parts on others makes me understand the true beauty in what I used to call my flaws. I love my funny ears that stick out, the intensity of my facial expressions, my straight hips and subtle curves, the fast-growing hair under my arms, and my short legs. Like everyone, I am a natural wonder, deserving of awe. And it's so much more fun to live with this knowledge, because I can actually experience the loveliness of those around me, rather than acknowledging it vaguely with my head turned away. I see truly exciting things, and others feel delighted when I tell them what I see. We are breathtakingly beautiful when we let ourselves be. Explore the concept of attraction. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. In our society, beauty is often linked and limited to physical appearance. The quality of attraction, however, is what draws people to one another. Attraction is defined as the action or power of evoking interest, pleasure, or liking for someone or something. Nowhere in this definition does it say that in order to be attracted to someone, or to be attractive, a person must have one particular appearance. Many people who attend body positive workshops and lectures come back with stories about how their physical bodies are perceived differently by others after spending time with us, even after a short lecture. Their friends ask them if they've done something to change themselves because they look great. The transformation that takes place in such a short time is not with their hairstyles, clothes, or weight. What their friends observe but cannot properly name is an increase in self-love and willingness to see their own beauty. It is this positive change in self-perception and greater appreciation for themselves as is that causes an energetic shift that others are attracted to but cannot identify because they are so used to focusing on specific physical traits. Distinguishing between attraction and a social construct of beauty lets you physically express what you are feeling emotionally. You don't always have to be on. You may have days when you don't feel like being seen. On these days, you can go about your life from a more internal, private place. When you are feeling full of light and energy, you become more visible and can engage more actively with others. Seeing beauty as alive and vital attracts it to you. Sarah Lewin, whose story you heard earlier, once said, "Beauty is something that breathes and lives. Beauty is in living." I love Sarah's concise, elegant statement because it perfectly describes my own experience. Playing in the hills above my home is a favorite activity that provides me with a true mirror. I wrote the following passage on a scrap of paper while sitting in my car after returning from one of my hikes through the forest. In this moment, I am muddy, sweaty, and stinky from my playtime in the hills, and I feel radiant. I saw my reflection today in the vibrant green hue of the newly sprouted grass, the pumpkin-colored mushrooms growing boldly on a fallen log that blocked the trail, and the heightened colors of the eucalyptus tree bark, still damp from a week of rain. If someone were to write about my beauty, I would wish to be described in this moment. I am alive and in love with life. Redefine perfection. Author Haruki Murakami wrote a line about perfection in his novel, Kafka on the Shore, that aptly describes my perception of human beauty. One of his characters says, "A certain type of perfection can only be realized through a limitless accumulation of the imperfect." He was speaking about Schubert's Sonata in D, which he believed was never played perfectly by the multitude of pianists he heard try. He was encouraged, however, by what he described as this limit of being human, and saw the accumulation of the performances he attended, each played with faults, as making the piece perfect. Perfection seen as the limitless accumulation of the imperfect. Isn't that what human beauty, human life really is? I perceive our experience on this planet with awe, because it is a wonder to me that we even have these amazing bodies and brains, so intricately created with parts interconnected in ways we don't even notice or cannot fathom. We get a cut, and our body heals itself. We breathe in and out without sending a signal to our lungs to do so. Our brains grow, and we learn at a pace that is nearly impossible to comprehend. We are, each and every one of us, a physical miracle. And we are completely and beautifully flawed. I am inspired by Murakami's character to rethink what perfection means. Contrary to what you are told, you are ideal because of your imperfections. You will most likely not do everything flawlessly each day, and you may not look perfect as the world is defined by society. However, each day you are alive adds to the one before, and these days combine to become your life. Can you see the accumulation of these imperfect days you string together on this planet as beautifully complete? Play with beauty messages. Another way to transform your perception of beauty is to collect imagery that makes you feel good about yourself. Close the magazine and take photos of what is beautiful to your own eyes. Write your own articles about how to achieve more love and beauty in your life, remembering to discard any language that refers to the need to change yourself or lose weight before you can have what you desire. Write love notes to yourself and put them up around your house. Search for inspiring images and quotes from other people to add to your collection. I once had a mirror in my house that for some reason brought out my critical voice. Every time I walked by, I silently criticized my thighs. One day, I became conscious of how cruel the voice inside my head sounded. So I covered the mirror with beautiful photos of flowers, my family and friends, and myself as a young child with my pony. The latter represented the time in my life before I was told something was wrong with my muscular thighs, a time when I was still thrilled to use my body for fun. The photo reminded me that my dislike of my thighs was a learned behavior, not an innate belief. If it was learned, it could be unlearned. After covering the mirror, I made it a practice to say something loving when I passed by. If you're feeling bold, you can put the positive messages you collect on post-it notes and stick them up in public dressing rooms and bathrooms to inspire others to see their beauty. Body image groups all over the country are taking this action. Imagine what it would be like if every time you walked into a dressing room, you were given a positive message about your beauty, instead of feeling isolated with the mirrors and your critical thoughts. A fun activity I do to counteract negative media messages about beauty is to cover up insulting magazines when I go to the grocery store. If I don't like the messages I see as I'm standing in line waiting to pay for my food, I place political, travel, or cooking magazines in front. I'm not willing to stand passively in line absorbing the negativity of the magazines if there is something I can do about it. People sometimes give me odd looks as I perform this deed, but I'm not bothered because I have too much fun being a rebel. My magazine sabotage has led me into interesting conversations with fellow shoppers about the purpose behind my action. I don't destroy property. I just rearrange the displays so I feel better about the time I spend in a store that is receiving my money. Many of the body positive student leaders tell me how much fun they have covering up the magazines that insult their beauty. I love seeing their eyes twinkle with mischief as they describe such rebellious deeds. Elizabeth, this is beauty. I am eager to share This Is Beauty with you, the Body Positive's online art campaign in which we introduce the stories of people with diverse bodies and life experiences who are willing to declare their own authentic beauty to the world. It was created to invite you to befriend your own body and participate in this radical reimagining of beauty. The idea for this campaign came out of a session I had with a new client who cried when I told her it was possible to be free of her body hatred and eating disorder. She said she'd never heard this was true, even after twice spending time in residential treatment centers. I was shocked to hear this. How was it possible to face life every day without knowing there was a path to freedom? I told her I knew a lot of people who had suffered terribly and were now completely free. I shared information about the body positive and all the things we teach to help people love and treasure their bodies. I let her know I would find a way to introduce her to individuals who were brave and skilled at connecting to their own beauty and worthiness. I wanted her to see what I had discovered, that it was possible to fully inhabit one's own body, trust one's hungers and desires, and experience beauty as the authentic, open-hearted, and vulnerable expression of one's life. After that session, I realized that what was missing in my treatment of people with eating disorders was offering them an alternative vision. What was needed was a community of people who were free from the obsession of blaming their bodies for their troubles. That was when I started thinking about interviewing people whom I knew were alive and well, and caring for themselves with love and respect. I wanted to collect their stories on video, in photos, and in writing to share with my clients and with every isolated person in the world who needed an invitation to be free. So here it is. This is beauty.org, the beginning of what I hope will become an unending explosion of artistic expression from an expanding community of diverse people who lovingly inhabit their bodies. My dream is to fill our gallery with such variety that everyone who sees it will wonder, what is my beauty? In this way, they can turn their focus from searching for their flaws to inhabiting their beauty. I hope you too will be brave and take the time now to create your own This Is Beauty statement, whether you share it on our website or not. Astrid Quarry, Body Positive Leader, Australia. Hole, thrashing in the background. This is my feel-good music. I like other music, but catharsis comes from Courtney Love's anger. A jar of honey sits in front of me. I dip one finger into it and lick the smooth stickiness into my mouth. I dip all my fingers in one at a time. When I've had 10 fingertips, I put the lid on the jar and put it away. I'm wearing my favorite shoes, the ones I've yet to work my courage up and wear outside. Outrageously pink patent leather pumps with plastic heels with dark wood grain printed on them. I love them. This is me. Sweet fantasy bubbling in my head. Spicy anger that just needs to be released sometimes. And a love of eye-catching aesthetic beauty. I also like to play at being something I'm not. Or something other people don't think I am. Return to wholeness. Wholeness is not achieved by cutting off a portion of one's being, but by integration of the contraries. Carl Jung. Authentic beauty is the sum of our parts, not each part seen alone. We come into this world whole, of this fact I am sure. Even when born differently abled or with illnesses, we still enter our lives as complete human beings. I see children all the time who are absolutely in love with everything about themselves, amazed at what their little bodies can do as they learn each new skill. As we are socialized, though, most of us develop critical voices that cut our bodies into pieces and trash the different parts as if they were something we'd like to throw away. When we pay attention to the way we speak about our bodies, both to ourselves and to others, we are able to uncover the ways in which we have become fragmented. Our work, then, is to piece ourselves back together. Although some parts may be considered imperfect, if we make the choice to see how these amazing body parts work together to give life, we can once again become whole. Kate Finney, the person who shared her recipe for true rest at the end of Competency 2, finds wholeness by reminding herself regularly that the human body is a miracle and gratitude a healing force. In Kate's words, "When I feel bombarded with cultural and media messages that tell me to diet and really promote this obsession with thinness and beauty, one thing I try to do is come back to gratitude for my body. I think about what an incredible thing the human body really is, and our anatomy, and what a miracle this is." Another way to come back to authentic beauty and a sense of being a whole human being is to make a commitment to ending the self-deprecating comments that can so easily flow from our mouths, especially when we spend time with other people who trash their bodies. It's really not that hard to stop. It's just a matter of staying silent, or stopping mid-sentence when we catch our critical voices in action. Like the difficult mornings with my mirror that cause nasty comments to come out of my mouth before I'm fully awake. Seeing ourselves as whole human beings instead of fragmented parts, a thigh here or a belly there, lets us remember why we're here on the planet. What is your purpose? What brings you joy? Take a minute to think about how you feel when you're doing something you love, something that ignites your passion and makes you forget about the size of your body or how you look while you're doing it, if even just for a short time. These are the moments when body, mind, and spirit become connected. This is your authentic beauty. Elizabeth, becoming free of the critical gaze. I had a client once who was constantly trying to improve her image. She developed an eating disorder through her attempt to lose weight, which was why she came to see me. This young woman had a critical voice that was harsh and demanding. It was important for her to understand the source of this mean voice, so during one session I asked her, "When you're looking at yourself and criticizing your appearance, who do you imagine is looking at you?" As we explored our answers in depth, she discovered that when she looked at herself, she imagined being seen by a man who was a potential partner, a handsome, attractive, charismatic, and extremely critical man. He studied every detail of her face and body for flaws and constantly found them. He looked at her through a lens that was mean, judgmental, and focused on minute details. I asked her, "Where does this voice come from? Does your father look at you that way?" "Oh no," she said. "My father's very kind, and he only says nice things about me." "And your partner?" I asked. "Is he very critical? Does he not like your body? Does he judge it?" Her reply was, "Oh no, he hates that I'm so self-critical." I said, "So this practice of looking at yourself from the outside, from the point of view of a random stranger whom you've created and doesn't like you, why do you do that?" She thought for a long time and couldn't come up with an answer. So she stopped looking at herself in this way and decided instead to be creative and imaginative in her thoughts about beauty. She chose to take in the kind, generous ways that her partner looked at and spoke to her. She began to hear her father's loving words. She noticed that her friends were not criticizing her either. She also realized it wasn't useful to pay attention to the girls who might criticize her, because they were not her friends. She began a new practice where she imagined a person with kind eyes looking at her. Even that seemed invasive, so she decided to stop looking at herself from an outside perspective entirely, and instead, to feel who she was from the inside. By orienting her awareness in this new way, she was able to get in touch with a feeling of aliveness and a sense of great expansion and energy. She began to see who she really was, a generous, kind, and beautiful person. My client became free when she let go of the imaginary person who looked at her in a mean and judgmental way, and understood she was just the size she was meant to be. She was made just right. She never again engaged in her disordered eating behaviors after that single session, when she realized the way she viewed her beauty was a waste of her time and energy. Choose beauty. For always, always, we are waking up and then waking up some more. Sue Monk Kidd, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. I love the mosaic photographs, especially portraits, that are made up of numerous tiny photographs, each one its own unique image. When you look from afar, you see the mosaic as a whole. When you get up close, however, you see it is teeming with individual lives. This is how I perceive beauty when I speak to groups of people. My mind creates a painting that represents the group as a whole entity, with everyone in attendance contributing their own unique light, texture, and hue. I am overcome with how much beauty I see in these moments. The longer I am with a group, the more vibrant the painting becomes. Body positive discussions reach people's hearts and souls, even during a short talk. The freedom experienced in that brief moment together causes their bodies to emanate more radiant light, bringing even more magnificence to my canvas. I have seen great masterpieces. These opportunities to view superb art are why I love my work so much. When people experience self-love, even for a brief time, and can see their own beauty, both inner and outer, and when they interact with one another from this place, a place of wholeness, this is beauty. I recently found a brilliant description of the human body in a novel by poet and author Angela Jackson. I knew I would love the book when I read in the second paragraph of the prologue. A body. It is a mosaic made of colors, shapes, designs, textural arrangements, symmetries, studies and contrasts that collide, oils and water that hug like sweat. At last, I am all these forms meshed so fine, so skillfully, that I am feeling. At last, I am so lovely I can touch myself, marvel, be stunned and curious and calm. Yes, I choose to see my life as a beautiful, mysterious journey. My body is perfect in its limitless accumulation of the imperfect. My definition of beauty is something real. It is in constant motion, the artistic expression of me. In the painting of my own beauty, I add color, light, and texture to my canvas every day I am alive. I choose to see myself as a growing up instead of a grown-up, because this allows me never to lose sight of the wonders of this world. I see the radiance of everyone I meet because I need not be in competition when I am able to see my own ever-changing beauty. I am a perfectly imperfect, beautiful human being. It is never too late to revel in your own beauty, to know you are perfect just the way you were made. Shed all fears of being labeled conceited or arrogant. Throw away any definitions of beauty that stop you from including yourself. Grieve for the time you spent attempting to turn yourself into someone else because you let others define beauty for you. Make the radical choice to cease the body-bashing rituals you perform alone or with others. Reconnect your fragmented parts into wholeness and let yourself shine. Take a bold step further and declare your authentic beauty to the world. Body positive practices. 1. Declare your own authentic beauty. Now is the time for an alternative, positive way of thinking about and experiencing beauty, one that is non-competitive, all-inclusive, and celebratory. This practice allows you to experience more beauty in the world around you and to expand your definition to include yourself. Instructions. A. This is beauty. This is Beauty is the Body Positive's online art campaign, created to make the statement that we are all allowed to see and express our unique selves and to share our beauty with the world. Start this practice by checking out the videos, photos, poetry, and essays at thisisbeauty.org. Then ask yourself, how do the messages about beauty on the website differ from what I generally hear? How do listening to the people declare their beauty make me feel about my own? B. My beauty is. On a piece of paper or a page in your journal, write a word or statement to complete the sentences here. Write your answers only, not the sentence. Leave space for a few words in front of each of your answers. I feel beautiful when I... Something about my body I've been teased about is... Something I inherited from one of my most beloved ancestors is... I feel self-conscious about my... People who love me admire my... Someone who loves me told me I was beautiful when I... I really appreciate my... Add body part here. When I am... I feel radiant when I am... I love to... One secret talent no one knows about is my... I wish more people would appreciate me for my... The strangest, quirkiest thing about me is... I feel unstoppable when I... Now write, my beauty